Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Dr. Anita Castillo with us today, and she is a dentist and an orthodontist, and she is an author of a book. And today we're going to talk about how our smiles help others have a better day. So welcome, Anita.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you on the show. So how important is it to have a great smile to meet people with?
Oh my God, it's so important. Having a beautiful smile and therefore smiling a lot, because people that feel confident about their smiles tend to smile more, is very important to having a healthy life and healthy relationships. And the benefits of smiling are way beyond just what we traditionally think of the benefits of having a beautiful smile, like healthy teeth and gums and things like that.
Even if you have to force a smile, does it actually change your attitude inside, even if you force a smile?
You know, it does, and maybe not at first. And the key thing is that physiology does affect us, and how we carry ourselves and even what posture we take. And so therefore, similarly with smiling, it does affect us. You know, I always tell everybody, you know, try shaking your butt while you're upset and see how long you stay upset. And it's not very long. It's not very long. And it's the same thing. So even in the beginning, if you're just forcing a smile, eventually it becomes real.
And can smiling actually really lower your blood pressure?
It can. Isn't that amazing?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So when you smile, or when we smile, the brain generates these signaling molecules. They're called neuropeptides and neurotransmitters. And what they do is they calm down the nervous system. And so they help in reducing stress, aid sleep, aid in your sleep, elevate your mood, lower your heart rate, and ultimately, therefore, lower your blood pressure as well, all just from smiling.
That's fascinating. And when you have a nice smile, does it impact your life on how people treat you?
It does. And it does, because smiling is contagious. People do, you know, we've all heard of communication being, you know, mostly nonverbal. And that the words that we say to each other are actually a small component of how the meaning of what is being communicated. And when you smile, other people can help themselves but smile as well. Even like when you smile at a baby, if you ever try to smile at a baby, they immediately smile back. And that's called mirroring. Mirroring is the term that is used by a psychologist to describe how people subconsciously imitate what another person is doing, or you know, the gestures, the posture, even the tone of voice of someone that you're interacting with. People tend to subconsciously mirror it or repeat it or mimic it. And so when you smile, you feel better, and then people subconsciously smile back, and it kind of creates this like feedback loop where you smile, you look and feel good, others see you smile, then they mimic and smile, and then they feel good, and then you smile. And so it kind of creates like the circle.
That's wonderful. And can people tell if you're smiling when you're talking to them on the phone or over the radio?
Absolutely, yeah. I actually recently filmed a video for our practice, and one of the compliments that I received was like, oh, you know, when I hear your voice, I can hear the smile in your voice, and it definitely comes across, absolutely.
And so you're a dentist and an orthodontist. You were raised in, or you were born in Guatemala, was it?
No, I was born
Ecuador.
In Ecuador, but I moved to the U.S. when I was three, and I grew up in New York.
Okay, so all your education and all your dentistry has been done in the United States.
That is correct.
Okay. And what changes have you seen? Like, I see a lot of adults, and not just adults, but people that are ready for retirement with braces on their teeth. It's amazing how many people are making an effort to have a really nice smile late into life.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Actually, the number of adults seeking orthodontic treatment is growing and growing, and there really doesn't seem to be an end to the popularity with adult and orthodontic treatment. And it goes to show you the value of a beautiful smile and just smiling. People that smile a lot are seen as, you know, more friendly and sociable, more trustworthy, and even more competent and attractive. So you think about all the social situations where those kind of things would be beneficial, job interview, dating, you know, things like that. So a lot of people are, even, I know in our office, we've had patients as old as 72 in orthodontic treatment.
Wow. And do they have, like, strong tissues to hold the teeth in at that age? Usually by 72, we're getting pretty long in the tooth.
Yeah, and you bring up an important point, because with adult treatment, it's different from orthodontic treatment for children. With adults, because of the prevalence of periodontal disease, that's something that, you know, as a doctor or as an orthodontist, you have to really watch out for, because it's so prevalent, where once you have periodontal disease or gum disease, you lose bone, you lose the gum tissues and the supporting tissues around the teeth, as you indicated. So in this particular case, this lady had perfectly healthy teeth. And I think it's a little bit of a misconception that because you get older, you naturally lose your gum tissue or the bone surrounding your teeth, and that's actually not true at all. It just happens that because gum disease is so prevalent that you see it in older and older populations. But you can keep your teeth healthy for the rest of your life, well into old age. So as long as the gums and the periodontal structures around the teeth are healthy.
So what can we do to complete that and make sure that we carry on for years with our own teeth? How do we have to go to the dentist every 6 months, or is there certainly the mechanical brushing and flossing help? Is there any other tricks to really keeping good periodontal health?
Yeah, you know, there's like everything else. There's a combination of your home care and your lifestyle, your healthy lifestyle, and then also seeking professional care. So with your teeth, you want to brush at least twice a day, floss at least once, eat healthy, not eat a lot of sugary foods, and then visit your dentist for cleanings, you know, twice a year.
And so when you say eating healthy, so leaving out anything sugar, but also is that like healthy as crunchy foods that actually stimulate the gums and clean the teeth?
I don't know that there's any foods that really stimulate the gums or clean the teeth. If anything, you have to be careful with crunchy foods. Most crunchy foods are okay, but depending on what exactly you're eating. Like, for example, if you have a jawbreaker, you know, one of the, it's funny that they call it that, you know, some of those really hard candies, you could chip your teeth, but that wouldn't necessarily be related to gum disease.
Yeah, no, I was thinking more like celery and carrots and apples and just crunchy, because they almost can take some of the plaque down?
I don't know that necessarily.
Nothing. Nothing but the good old toothbrush. How are all these electric toothbrushes and the ones that already jiggle for you? Do you think that's better than just your manual toothbrush?
Absolutely. I think for most people, yes. I mean, ultimately, it is more important that you brush regardless of the toothbrush that you use. And ultimately, technique in brushing, making sure you cover all your tooth surfaces is what's most important. But if you compare apples to apples, for example, if I know how to brush my teeth already, if I use a manual toothbrush versus an electric toothbrush, the electric toothbrush will be better. It's been shown to be better.
Okay, Anna, in your perspective, what's the best thing to brush with? There's so many different ideas about toothpaste and what to use. What do you choose for your orthodontic patients?
I always recommend a fluoridated toothpaste, and I know there's always been a lot of controversy, at least in the United States, about fluoride, but a fluoridated toothpaste that's approved by the American Dental Association, and that's really as easy as that.
Okay. So, there's some now with ozone and oxygen. There's different ones with silver in them. But you say just go with the good old fluoride and spit it out. Don't swallow it.
Right.
Okay. And how young should you be when you start using that kind of toothpaste?
You should be at least 5 years old. They have toothpaste for children that don't have the fluoride that is good for showing them how to brush their teeth, and that if they swallow it would be safe.
Okay, and so is it with kids? Is it okay just to manually use the toothbrush and use the floss rather than adding anything to it too? Just so they don't have anything in there, so they can do it when they're on the couch. They can do it anywhere, but just the practice of playing with cleaning teeth.
With young children, yes, it's especially if you have a toddler, you can just give them even just a wet toothbrush, even if it doesn't have toothpaste. Habits form early in life, don't they?
They sure do.
Yeah.
It's so important with early childhood to learn to take care of your teeth, because you'll have your full dentition by about 12?
Yes.
18, I guess, with the wisdom teeth. But so you've got them all in, and if you don't have good habits, then they're you're not going to have the structure to take care of as an adult.
Yeah, and especially now, many people have fast-paced lives and eat on the go, and a lot of the choices for eating that are fast are not necessarily healthy.
Mm-hmm. And do you see people like wearing down their teeth just due to stress and just grinding the teeth these days? There's so much stress in the world.
Yes, but stress is not the only contributor. So absolutely, I see patients all the time that brush their teeth, or what's called grinding,
right,
commonly known as grinding their teeth, or clenching of the teeth, and that's all a response to tension or stress. But this can be aggravated if you don't have a good bite. The bite is made, your teeth, when you have a good bite, they're made to fit like a zipper, where with your upper teeth, each one of your upper teeth fitting in between two of the lowers. And when you don't have a good bite, what you have is a situation where the cusps of the teeth are hitting the cusps of the lowers, and you don't have that zipper bite, and so the teeth they hit harder than they should, or maybe in some places and not in others. You don't have your teeth touching evenly, so especially if you have a bad bite, and then that can be exacerbated with grinding and clenching on top of that, then you really rapidly wear your teeth.
Mm. Anna, what caused you to write your book on orthodontics?
I wanted to write this book because I have so many patients in my office that ask questions that I thought people knew the answers to already. I just kind of took that for granted. I really wanted to educate the general public on orthodontics. Orthodontics in general right now is, going through a lot of changes. We're seeing a lot of different things with companies like Smile Direct Club, where now there's aligners that you can get mailed to your house with no direct supervision from an actual orthodontist. And there's so many things that are going on in the orthodontic place that I wanted to educate people on what it takes to get a beautiful, healthy, straight smile, and what are the things that they should be looking at, and especially with adults. They're so, as I mentioned before, adult orthodontic treatment is so different from children. You have to be conscious of certain things, like, are you going to get a crown on your tooth? If you are, then you maybe should wait for the crown till after orthodontic treatment and not get it before. Same thing with a bridge or an implant. So I just wanted to educate people and talk about the benefits of having a beautiful smile, because for me, it really changed my life. I had orthodontic treatment when I was 23 years old, and it made all the difference in the world for me and for the better, like my actual life, not just my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to share that.
Were you in dentistry already when you started working on your own teeth?
No, I was an engineer.
Oh, you've had a few careers. So how long have you been in dentistry and orthodontics?
I became a dentist in 2005.
Oh, okay, so it's pretty.
Now, like 13 years now, yeah.
Yeah. I was a dental assistant in the 70s and 80s, and they often the dentist would just say, you know, here's a popsicle stick, go home and push on that tooth. So it's come a long ways in decades and decades.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard it from several people, so it must be true.
Yeah. We're going to have to go to a quick break, Anna, and when we come back, we'll talk more about dentistry and orthodontics today. Be right back.